He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, June 22nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show, broadcasting live from Sarasota today. A little cloudy. I just saw an alligator swim by just outside the window of the hotel. I hope that's not my first appointment that Edie lined up with me. Anyways, we've got the Dow down 65. We had a huge day yesterday, but it's pretty quiet here so far today. I'm not seeing much in the way of trends other than Bitcoin just getting taken to the cleaners. Don't say I didn't warn you. The Dow down 72 right now, 33,804. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ is up 12 points right now, just barely above the line. And not that far from its all-time high, the NASDAQ sitting at 14,152. The S&P is flat. Oh, boy, that's exciting. 42.24 in the S&P 500. Small caps getting beat up a little bit. You know, when risk comes off the market in Bitcoin, it seems to impact the stock market, too, especially the higher risk areas like small caps. They're down 16 points today, 22.70. Crude oil is up 9 cents, 73.75. I'm seeing a lot of traders calling for $80 now on oil. Gold is down $7.40 to 17.75. Silver's down 20 cents. The 10-year up one basis point today, 1.49. 1.49 on the 10-year. And here's your big story of the day. Bitcoin is down $3,900 per coin. It breaks a very important support level, which I've been talking about in my newsletter. It's below 30,000 now at 29,079. Oh, my. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We are broadcasting live today from Sarasota, Florida, where I will be meeting with folks today. And tomorrow, getting prepared for a little get-together and workshop at the Grove here in Sarasota. If you're interested in reserving a seat, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Well, we had a huge day in the market yesterday. I mean a huge day. If you were a seller on Thursday or Friday of those reflation stocks, you really missed out yesterday. But yeah, basically we got back what we lost Friday, but we lost quite a bit on Friday. You can thank the Fed Governor Ballard out of St. Louis there for scaring the market on Friday. And I think over the weekend everybody had time to digest really what Powell said, what Ballard said. You know, if you put it in perspective, okay, the next rate hikes they're looking at are towards the end of 2023. Well, that's almost over 2 years from now, and kind of silly for the market to sell off like it did those 2 days after that Fed announcement last Wednesday. But having said that, it is a change in the course. They have not mentioned rate hikes at all until this last meeting. And now they're starting to at least prepare you way down the line. In fact, every other meeting for the last several years, they said the Fed will maintain its accommodative stance of zero interest rates. And that's where it's been for a long time. The problem is now, as demand comes back after the pandemic, you're seeing inflation kick up with these low interest rates and easy money sloshing around. Not only easy money sloshing around that you can be had at a very low interest rate, you've also have all that stimulus money sloshing around. And, of course, that has created some inflation. And, you know, the Fed has been hypersensitive about inflation over the years. And now they're actually starting to see some inflation, which we haven't seen for a long time. And that that had the Fed spooked last Wednesday, and they did at least signal some rate hikes down the road. Then the next day, Ballard, who I don't think he's a voting member. I can't remember if he is or not. He said, oh, no, we got to raise height. We got to raise rates way before 2023. And that, of course, spooked the markets. But I think at the end of the day, Jerome Powell is the guy calling the shots. And I think that Janet Yellen has got her hand in the cookie jar, too, there in the Fed. She's our current Treasury Secretary. She's keeping eyes on the only Republican that I know of. I don't know how many Republicans are on, but, you know, Jerome Powell was appointed by Trump, right? Donald Trump, Republican administration. So he is the one they're keeping an eye on there at the Fed. The inflation, reflation, you know, you name it, inflation, reflation, stagflation, they all seem to be in play right now. Yesterday, the reflation trade had a huge day with the Dow up almost 600 points. Of course, it lost 500 on last Friday, but the Dow was up 1.8%. The S&P was up 1.4%, and now we're back in that pattern, at least we were yesterday, of the NASDAQ underperforming the Dow. Or in other words, I guess you could say the growth stocks underperforming the value stocks. At least that was the trade yesterday. The Dow had double the returns, double the gain of the NASDAQ from a percentage point of view, as the Dow jumped 580 points, as New York Fed President John Williams says he sees 7% economic growth this year. Well, okay, we're up against some pretty easy comparisons. He also sees inflation cooling off next year and added that the data hasn't supported a shift in monetary policy yet. So he pretty much offset what Ballard said on Friday. All 11 sectors in the market closed higher yesterday. The fertilizer stocks had a really good day. I could smell them a mile away moving higher, and we had the energy stocks had a really good day. The financials had a good day. The materials, basic materials, had a good day. And the defensives lagged. Consumer staples, the utilities, things like that. But it was a huge day. Problems in the crypto world, though. We're going to talk about that in a bit here. China cracking down on crypto mining. And that is really, really hurting the Bitcoin, which drops below 30,000. That was a key support level. And if you follow along, one of the sections of my newsletter every week, I do my technical analysis, just a couple of sentences for you so you understand where all of these major asset classes are at any given point in time in their technical analysis. And that's kind of a little progressive thing. You know, they'll be in a sideways trend, sideways trend, sideways trend, and then maybe they'll turn the corner and start a downtrend. That's a significant event. It's also a significant event when you get a sideways trend, a sideways trend, a sideways trend. And all of a sudden, it takes a turn upwards. That could be the beginning of a new major upleg. Those are very critical technical events that are warning signs, either warning that, hey, take a look at this thing, it's starting to break out, or on the other side of the street, hey, take a look at this thing is starting to break down. And I noticed that in Bitcoin quite some time ago, when it was trading up around 64,000. The direction of that trend is important to know. I personally do not like buying into downtrends. In fact, I do not buy into downtrends. I would rather buy into a little bit of strength. Whether it's a sideways trend starting to turn into an uptrend, that's the optimum place, in my opinion, as long as you have the other things in place, like performance and like valuation, But buying one that's just starting to turn south, not a good idea. And that's what Bitcoin was starting to do many moons ago. And now it's accelerated, and it's been in a number four downtrend now for several weeks. And in the newsletter, I said, well, here's the next level of support. I think it was around 32,000. If it doesn't hold that, look out below. And today you're seeing that look out below scenario coming to pass. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to hear from Jerome Powell again today. So fasten your seatbelt there. And we'll talk a little bit about the sectors of the market that are moving one way or another in a big way right now. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Sarasota, where we are until Friday. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager. Hey, the market's improved quite a bit. We just went positive for the day and moving well into positive territory with our, you know, our overall accounts here. The Dow is down 37 right now, but I'm seeing some strength in the materials, basic materials, fertilizer in particular. The NASDAQ up about 16 points. Well, the argument will rage here between now and towards the end of 2023, I guess. That's when Jerome Powell mentioned the next rate hike. But Dallas Chairman, Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, he's the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, Robert Kaplan, suggested Monday that the central bank should consider pulling back its accommodative policy sooner rather than later. And he makes a good argument. He says we don't have a demand problem right now like we did in 08 and 09. Instead, we have a labor market problem and a raw material problem. And that should mean that we start taking our foot off the accelerator, which they've had their foot on the accelerator for quite some time. Well, I noted that their balance sheet expanded a good amount last week. Once again, they continue to do quantitative easing in an economy that is coming back as it reopens. You had the, you know, the rapid development of a vaccine, which happened much quicker than expected. The demand is back, and yet the Fed continues to do quantitative easing. That means buying back of bonds to artificially keep interest rates low. Well, they're doing that. We're at 1.49, and that is helping the tech sector to some extent. Now, you can see how sensitive the tech sector is to interest rates. You go back to February of this year when all of a sudden we had an explosion, just a sudden explosion higher in interest rates, and you saw the havoc that created in the high PE, high growth stocks. The higher the PE, as that interest rate climbs, the greater the vulnerability there of that multiple contracting, causing a big sell off in the market. Now, what about interest rates going forward? That's going to have a lot to do with the markets. Obviously, if we're at, let's call it 1.50 right now, the Fed has definitely come off of their, you know, accommodative. We're not going to be so accommodative at some point down the road. And they'll eventually stop buying things and quit expanding their balance sheet and maybe even start to sell some things off their balance sheet. It would seem to me that the course of least resistance for interest rates is higher down the road. And to me, that means this sell-off that we've seen in the financial stocks and the consumer discretionary recently, it seems to me like that's a buying opportunity. Look, if you think interest rates are going lower from here, we're at 1.49 today, then you should continue to be all over the high-growth stocks. If you think interest rates are headed higher, I think you should cut. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Apparently we dropped somewhere along the way there. I don't know what I was talking about. But, sometimes I carry my radio equipment with me. I have portable equipment. You never know. But it's always worked in the past. I don't know why we dropped. Well, we're back anyways. And the market has gained a little bit of strength since we opened yesterday. Of course, we had a huge day in the market yesterday. I would say the three biggest words in the market right now are reflation, stagflation, and inflation. And, of course, when you get a combination of slow growth in the economy and inflation, that's the worst of both worlds. We had a big bout of that back in the 70s where the market basically went nowhere for 10 years. So we don't want that again. And there was some fear of that last week as the Fed Chairman Powell talked about various things. And, of course, raising interest rates in and of themselves cool the economy off. And, of course, on the other hand, he's got inflationary words coming out of his mouth. So when you add cooling the economy off and inflation, you get stagflation. That's why you really saw the big sell-off in the reflation stocks last week. So anyways, we'll continue to watch those three words. And of course, yesterday, the reflation trade was back big time as the material stocks and the oil stocks and the financials and the agriculture and the industrials had a huge, huge day yesterday. Like I've said before, and it's especially true this year, when you have a theme in the market, okay, so look, Kathy Wood's theme in the market is high growth, innovative companies, game changers. They may take a while to develop and have earnings, such as the space flight stocks and the autonomous driving and this and that. But that's her theme, okay? And we'll see how she does over a long period of time. But her theme is going to have some bad weeks. It's going to have some bad months. She's in a very vulnerable area of the market. Now, I was playing that whole theme all of last year and did very, very well. But I'm unrestrained, you see. I can go where I'm not constrained by any type of a theme that I have to stick to. And I saw that theme starting to come unraveled in February as interest rates were rising, and it was raining in the multiples of the highest PE stocks. Those were the ones getting hit the hardest. And that money that was leaving those highest PE stocks was chasing the lowest PE stocks. So I established a theme earlier this year of paying attention to my P's and Q's. In other words, my price-to-earnings ratios, my price-to-sales ratios, my price-to-cash flow ratios, my PEG ratios, etc. And that theme is not going to work every single day or every single week or every single month, but I feel a lot more comfortable in this environment that we're in, the late innings more than likely of an expansion that's been going on for really 12 years if you look back at what started in 2009. We've had earnings growth in the S&P 500 for the last 12 years, except for the COVID year, and that's a one-off. And now we've returned to growth once again. And it still looks like there's growth out there on the horizon. That's why I'm not a bear. That's why I'm not calling for a big, big correction or a bear market because I still see higher earnings down the road. But there's some threats to those earnings, obviously. A slowdown in the economy would hit those earnings. That's why I update those earnings every single week. A tax hike would hurt those earnings. Once again, that would be a one-off. Of course, it would hurt earnings going forward, too, but it's all relative as long as you continue that growth. And, of course, there's another recession out there somewhere. And during a recession, I don't want to really have a lot of exposure to equities. So, you know, during a recession, Kathy Woods will really get clobbered with her high growth different types of stocks. So I just don't think that's the place to be in the market right now. That's my theme, and I'm sticking to it. While China reaches a milestone in COVID, they vaccinated 1 billion people. 1 billion people. I think we vaccinated, what, 200 million? Something like that, a little over 200 million. Here in the U.S. Big story out of China. You know, there's a lot of companies over there that make solar panels. Jinko Solar is one. A stock that I made a lot of money in last year, Daco New Energy, is another one. That was one of our biggest winners in the emerging growth portfolio last year. However, along the way, it would appear that the Chinese use forced labor. Okay, they have their own version of Siberia, I suppose. And it seems to involve the Uyghur Muslims. And we have films of them being rounded up, of them, you know, kneeling down and listening to what their leaders are saying. It doesn't look like they have a choice in the matter either. Well, Biden is weighing a ban on Chinese polysilicon used to make solar panels over forced labor. Well, here's the problem. That's where the supply chain is. If all of a sudden there was a ban on the making of solar panels in China, it would take a while for the U.S. to get up and running with their own polysilicon factory. So we'll have to see how that all plays out. But right now, President Biden weighing a ban on Chinese polysilicon over forced labor. Let's just check in on DQ, which points up another rule or another thing you need to learn in the market is when to sell stuff. I would say that more people have a much, much harder time of knowing when to sell as opposed to knowing when to buy. Now, most people buy stocks when the impulse hits them. There's a lot of impulse buyers out there. This ain't going higher. I got to get in. Well, I look for technical, you know, breakouts or certain things in the market or in the stock, accumulation, distribution, switching to accumulation, good relative strength, etc. And I rode Daco up a lot. We had a huge gain in Daco New Energy. And I don't know, we sold it in February sometime. And I'd have to look and see in my model portfolios here. I'm going to look just for fun because this is an important lesson. Daco, DQ, not Dairy Queen, DQ, we sold in, let's see, QID, blah, 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 where's Daco? I'm not finding it. There it is. We sold it on March the 3rd at $99.71. We had a 334% gain in that stock. In other words, it was a four-bagger plus for us. Okay, so we sold it at 99. You know where it is today? 55. We'd be down $44 a share. But it's that technical analysis, you know? I mean, I can see where I bought this stock. It broke out to the upside. It went on a long uptrend. There was really no reason to ever sell it from a technical point of view. The fundamentals were solid. The fundamentals are still solid. But the company's got a black cloud hanging over it. Then the stock finally peaked in mid-February, along with most of these other high PE, high growth stocks. Why did they peak in February and then start to peel off and go down? Because interest rates. You see how it's all interconnected? U.S. interest rates start to move higher in a very rapid fashion, in a fashion we hadn't seen in a long, long time. And you've got a polysilicon stock in Shenzhen province selling off because of U.S. interest rates. It's all interconnected. Now the stock is in a horrible downtrend. It's been in a horrible downtrend since I sold it. And now it's hitting under $55 per share. So you know what? Maybe we'll talk about that at the workshop tomorrow night. I will be taking some questions. I don't know if I have a chalkboard or a white panel to write on, but if I do, we'll do a little lesson on when to sell the stock, which could be even harder than buying the stock. Okay, when we come back, I think I've got my featured stock of the day. Yes, I do, and it has all to do with Belarus. What is going on in Belarus? Well, something stinks over there. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, one of the reasons I put in 4 hours of research every morning before I do the show, but it's also my own research into the portfolios that I manage. I find a lot of ideas as I'm reading through news around the world. As I'm reading about new IPOs, new deals, companies that have reported earnings, analyst upgrades, analyst downgrades, there's a lot every morning to cover. And I've just found that the more information I can take in, the better the decisions that I can make. And I'm able to uncover a lot of gems that, you know, they're not out there in the sunshine where everybody can see them. They're a little bit under the radar, where I like to find a lot of under the radar types of stocks. Now, this next one isn't an under the radar stock, but it's being impacted by an event taking place in Belarus. Potash is one of Belarus' biggest exports. Okay, there's your trivia question. Next time you go to trivia night at your local saloon, and they say, what is Belarus's biggest export? Raise your hand and say potash, and you might win something. Well, Belarus supplies about 20% of the global potash market. Well, what's that have anything to do with the stock market here, American stocks? Well, we are going to impose some sanctions on Belarus for what they are doing. They are escalating political repression, their leaders over there. And that's going to help other potash makers around the world. CF Industries, for one. CF Industries had a huge jump yesterday. I noticed that jump. It was one of the stocks I took note of yesterday. But I own one in that same industry, and I made a lot of fun of the fertilizer stocks this year, but they are doing quite well, and they continue to do well. And this situation in Belarus may help other potash makers around the world. The one that I'm going to feature here today, I've done featured it before, out of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Nutrien. Nutrien is symbol NTR. Over the last 5 years, Nutrien has been growing their earnings at a pace of 36% per year. And that has now that's doubling your growth every 2 years, okay? That's pretty quick using the rule of 72, and it's become a $35 billion company all of a sudden. And it's got a dividend yield of 3%. That's not bad. You're not getting that out there in treasuries right now. You're getting half of that in U.S. treasuries. And in U.S. treasuries, you don't have any chance of capital appreciation unless interest rates really go down from here. But, of course, there's more risk, obviously, buying a stock, an equity, than there is in buying U.S. treasuries. But there's more upside potential, obviously. That's the trade-off. Well, in sticking to my theme this year, although I've made some exceptions, I've also hedged my value-based reflation portfolio with some growth stocks, not the high-growth stocks. I kept some growth stocks. I didn't sell them all in February, but I've recently added a few back to the portfolio as the market kind of undecided right now. But my biggest theme here this year is going to continue to be kind of basic essentials of life, trading at very low multiples. And without fertilizer, without potash, you can't grow the world's crops to feed the world. Price-to-sales ratio on Nutrien, 1.56 price-to-sales, 1.56. Price-to-book value, 1.50. Those are two very, very low valuation measures. Price to cash flow, 9. The market's probably somewhere up around the 30, 25 to 30 area. Nutrien is 9. They're expected to make $3.04 next year in earnings. And with a stock that's trading at about 61 or so, you get a forward PE of 19 right now. They've been growing by 36% per year over the last 5 years, but now they're expected to grow by about 17% per year over the next 5 years. That gives me a PEG ratio of 1.1, meaning it's trading just at a little slight premium to its growth rate. So it gets a value grade of A+ right now. Now, this stock has pulled back recently. It's lost a little bit of its momentum. But on a scale of 1 to 99, it's a 76. I have a stock, when I bought it, it was ranked number 200. It's dropped in rank to 1600, but I still own the stock. And it has pulled back to its 50-day moving average. It's bouncing off of that. I continue to like it. It's not a recommendation, but it's an example of what I consider to be a stock that meets the theme for the most part here in 2021. And it's being helped by a world situation that might hamper some of the potash coming out of Belarus. Okay. Anyways, that's how this world is interconnected. That's why you have to be an active investor and not a passive one, because things can change very, very quickly. And you have to be able to make some adjustments here and there once in a while instead of just being in a passive portfolio. Well, that's our featured stock of the day, NTR. Now, if you'd like to set up an appointment with one of my advisors and look into one of the five portfolios or a mixture thereof of the portfolios that I manage on a daily basis, where I'm up reading the news early in the morning to find out about these kinds of situations that could create a nice situation for profits, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And if you want to see how I've done with the large cap growth and the ultra growth portfolios, those are by far my two largest portfolios, you can check out the results. You get 2 weeks free of the newsletter on me by going to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. If you want to come to the workshop in Sarasota tomorrow night, it's pretty full, but I think we could fit you in. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.